Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check, Nebo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer. You know the drill. It's Wednesday, and not only is it Wednesday, it is a Vanderpump Rules finale Wednesday, and what an episode we have to talk about today. The final episode ever? We all asked with tears in our eyes and fear in our hearts? Perhaps. We'll see. We don't know yet, but I will get there. First of all, I want to talk about an interesting interview that Andy Cohen did with The Hollywood Reporter that dropped this morning. It's a lengthy interview. He talks about a lot of different topics. Notably, though, for the first time, he is talking about the lawsuits, the allegations, the questions, the complaints that have arisen about conditions on Bravo shows, about specific situations on Bravo shows, namely situations with Bethany and Ebony and Brandy and Leah and Caroline. And there's a fair few of these. Andy, for the most part, has really steered clear of talking about these situations. Of course, these are still ongoing legal questions. So there are certain things he can't talk about. There are certain things he probably just doesn't want to talk about. But he does address some of the specific things in this interview. And I thought it was interesting to get just a little bit of a pulse check kind of on where he stands with this stuff. Also, of course, a lot of the stuff that is talked about in these lawsuits doesn't directly really fall on Andy. Stuff with the day-to-day production things, stuff with Bravo as a network. Andy is, careful to specify in the article that he does not, make the programming decisions at Bravo. He has not been an executive at Bravo in a long time now. He is an executive producer on Housewives. He is, of course, a personality on the network and hosting Watch What Happens Live in the reunions, but he is not like Bravo is not the same as Andy Cohen, and he wants to make sure that we know that. He does say that people like Bethany turning on him is hurtful, that, they've been on this journey together, and he says that one thing he likes about this journey over the last 20 whatever years is being able to look back with people on everything that's happened together. And obviously, in the case of somebody like Bethany, for a long time, they were kind of like together in this. And now I don't think that they are necessarily on good speaking terms at the moment. But yeah, he does say that that was hurtful, which I kind of appreciate because I feel like that's a real thing. But he does say that he has no regrets with how things have gone. And he also specifically responds to Leah McSweeney's claim that they hid alcohol bottles on set during the filming of Roni to try and get people to drink. And he basically, that's the one thing that he really flat out denies. He says that that is a ridiculous thing to say. And he points to, this is something we've talked about before, the assortment of people who have been on Bravo shows and have come on the show already sober, have gotten sober while they've been on the show, have just chosen not to drink while they've been on the shows, and that, Bravo doesn't need alcohol to fuel the conflict, though, of course, you know, there is drinking that happens on these shows and maybe some of those situations aren't great. It's not something that is like integral to the Housewives experience. He specifically points to Margaret Josephs as somebody who basically never drinks and is obviously extremely willing to cause drama. He also name drops Jill Zarin, who doesn't really drink, Candy Burris, Heather Dubrow is, you know, not a big drinker. There are obviously people in the Housewives universe who just don't really drink. But yeah, I mean, whatever. Speaking of Bethany, did anybody else see that she's going to be in a Lifetime movie this summer? This is such a wild pivot. It's called Danger in the Dorm. And it stars Bethany Frankel and Clara Alexandrova. And this is Bethany's caption. It premieres June 16th, by the way. Danger in the Dorm is about a complicated mother-daughter relationship under extreme circumstances. I connected with this character and Clara as my beautiful daughter, and I'm most grateful for the faith Lifetime put in me. With Mother's Day coming, make that extra effort. It's like, girl, this is a Lifetime movie about, just if I had to guess, somebody like getting kidnapped in a dorm. Like, don't make this a Mother's Day thing. I know Bethany did just lose her mom a few weeks ago, but it's like, this is not... This is something separate. Let me know if you really want me to watch Danger in the Dorm. I gotta say, I don't usually dip my toe into the Lifetime movie pool, even if there's a Bravo Leb on the case. But Bethany in a starring role in a movie is something that I kind of feel like I need to see to believe. And I have this like morbid curiosity. So maybe I will watch it. It depends what's happening in mid-June if we're really in that mental place where I'm going to watch that. But one other thing that I wanted to just touch on from Andy's interview is the conversation about whether or not reality shows and reality personalities should unionize. This is something that Bethany has brought up and, you know, has engaged lawyers and whatever. I haven't heard about that in a while. It's funny. I feel like I recall last summer when Bethany was first making this case that it seemed like she was trying to get attention by hopping on the bandwagon of the Writers Guild and SAG-AFTRA strikes. And funny, the actor strike resolved in November, and I don't feel like I've seen Bethany like beating this drum much lately. I'm sure she still feels very passionately about it. I'm sure she's doing a lot of the hard work behind the scenes when she's not filming her Lifetime movie or breaking up with her fiance, Paul. By the way, Bethany, single again. I almost just said Beyonce. Bethany wishes. Ariana wishes. I'm kidding. We'll get there. Okay. The unionization conversation, though, I think this is interesting. Andy gives a good long quote about it. And so I'm just going to read. This is all in quotation marks. If you look at shows like American Idol, Survivor, The Bachelor, or The Below Deck People, 90% or more of the reality stars on them are on for one season or less. Also, acting is a full-time profession. You don't go to school to be a reality star. Reality stars typically have other jobs. They're bar owners, they're designers, they're doctors. I think the way that Bravo pays people is that it's a buyout. They're buying them out for a show that can be distributed in certain ways, and the longer you stay on, the higher your salary gets. And salaries for people who have been on a long time are really high. Look, you're not drafted into The Real Housewives. You either want to be on the show or not, and you either see it as having some greater benefit for you or not. You have a business you're trying to launch. You have a music career you're trying to launch. You want exposure. And so you say, okay, I'm going to look at this for the long game and maybe parlay my exposure on the show into other lucrative opportunities. And many of them do just that. Yeah, there's some interesting things to unpack there. I think that he's really only addressing the financial part of this, which is obviously a key element. I mean, when you're talking about unionizing, a main tent pole of that is that you want to get paid fairly for your work. And I think that he's not necessarily wrong in the sense that reality is not a one-to-one comparison for being a professional actor or even, you know, some of the other professions that are unionized. But I think that what he is kind of alighting over, and maybe this has to do with some of the legal questions, maybe this has to do with just it's not what popped into his head when he was answering this question. But I think that the other part of the unionization convo is the protections and the workplace regulations and the sort of common practices in the industry of these shows being produced. And so I think that the money piece, it's like, yeah, I'm sure people would like, you know, the residual payments, for example, when something is streaming on Peacock, that's not something that, as a rule, people are getting paid extra for, or when there are reruns, you know, that's something that I'm sure some people would like. But there also are all of these questions that have been raised about when there are sensitive things happening on set, or if there are, you know, substance issues that are happening, or if somebody needs psychiatric care, or kind of all of these things that come up that people have raised about the conditions when they're making these shows. And this is not just a Bravo thing. I mean, he name checks The Bachelor. There have been people that have had issues on The Bachelor that have talked about those things. There have been situations on lots of different shows. I mean, whether it's, you know, competition shows or shows where people are living in a house, dating things, like, it's an industry-wide thing that I think is being looked at. And Bravo even last year put some new rules in place about alcohol and things like that. So it's not that this can only happen through unionization, but I think that if you're only focusing on the money side of things, I think that you're leaving out an important piece of that conversation. But at the same time, hey, yeah, a lot of people have launched music careers and businesses. So if you're in line to get on Housewives to launch your music career, stay in line. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Shall we talk about Vanderpump Rules? Boy, this finale, I watched it on, what day is it? I watched it on Monday afternoon. And because I want to see what they're like talking about at the beginning of the reunion, what they have to watch together as a group, because it's so intense. And I think that some people thought that this meant there was going to be like a really, really like shocking reveal or something in the last few minutes of the reunion. And when I watched it, it was like, I think it was surprising how all encompassing and just like intense and emotional it was, not even in a way where last season was so heated at the end of the season with all of the Scandoval stuff that they filmed so quickly. And this time it was a really different vibe because it felt like more of an existential moment of what is this show? What have we done over the last 11 years? What is kind of the point of being here? And, you know, more relevant than ever, where do we go from here? What is this show now? And what is it going to be? What are the options? What is the end game here? Is the end game Kyle Chan's whiskey launch celebration in San Francisco and Ariana leaving with three of her closest friends who aren't on the show to go eat at Applebee's. Also, is Applebee's paying for this? Why are we all talking about Applebee's? I mean, I can always go for like a chicken tender, but it felt more than ever like this is a crossroads, whether it's the end of the show or whether it's the end of a certain version of what this show has looked like, it does feel like we have to be at that point. And it's interesting how we get there. This episode, this trip to San Francisco is a little strange to me. Like, it doesn't feel like a real cast trip in a way. And it's kind of funny because I think I talked about this last week, but it's like, they had their biggest season ever and their cast trips were like a house in Tahoe and like 2 days in San Francisco for Kyle Chan's whiskey launch. Can we not get on an international flight? Was there like a Jen Shah parole officer situation that I'm unaware of where somebody couldn't leave the state? Very weird. I would love to know what the conversation was there. Did Ariana and Tom just refuse to go to a different country together? Well, Tom would have loved it. Tom would have been like, I'll be on the plane. Why won't she be on the plane? We're filming. Tom really, really thought he was doing something in these last couple episodes. I think that he had like a season long sort of game plan, it seems like. And I think he had help. I think he had help from production. And I think he obviously had a lot of help from Sheena and Lala and even James, who were important pieces in the puzzle to him kind of earning his place back in the at least somewhat good graces of the group at large. And it felt like this San Francisco trip in his mind was going to be leading up to some sort of breakthrough or burying the hatchet or moving to a new normal with Ariana. And when push came to shove, she just didn't give a fuck. And you can say, you can say that she should play along more for the show, or she should, you know, have these tough conversations on camera. Like Lala has lots of thoughts about, we've all put our shit out there. And, you know, Ariana hasn't been honest and she's not willing to do it. And it's bullshit. But at the end of the day, Ariana stuck to her guns more than anyone over the course of this whole season, and she really never changed her tune. And that's why it was so strange to watch this conversation with Sheena and Ariana at, again, Kyle Chan's whiskey launch party, because for some reason, this is, you know, the scene of the crime. When Sheena's like, well, you know, I had another conversation with Tom, and, you know, he flew out his sound guy here to get me ready for my performance. Like, he is good. And I think he's changing. And I think he's like on the path of growth. And watching Ariana just stand there with her, like, you know, skeptical listening face, and just super simple, be like, can I ask you a favor? Can you just not talk to me about the path of growth? Like, I don't want to be involved. And I think that everybody else on the show, I think they have this like self-preservation instinct of feeling like if they don't get Ariana to talk to Sandoval by the end of this season, that the clock is going to strike midnight and the carriage is going to turn into a pumpkin and the Valley Village home is going to turn into a mountain of debt. And it's like, at a certain point, like, that's a you problem. This season, it hasn't been like remarkable, but it hasn't been a disaster. And Ariana not wanting to have a sit down, come to Jesus, heart to heart talk with Sandoval hasn't actually been the issue with this season. I think the issue with the season has more been watching the group overall kind of stumble through how to move forward from this situation. And I think there have been some miscalculations, both on the part of production and on the part of people like Sheena and Lala, of kind of how this is going to play. That they've been making choices that feel like they're more geared toward what they think will help the show in the long run, but it's not really working on the show. And it's also making them look like kind of like shitty friends and shitty people with no real loyalty, no real like deep sense of whatever. And that's why it's just like, I believe that Sandoval has done good things for Sheena. I don't have an issue with her having him in her life. Like I think Ariana, of course, they show the montage. She's made comments in the past about, you know, I won't have mutual friends. I won't, you know, let him in my life through friends of mine. It doesn't actually seem like she is really gonna enforce that with Sheena. Like they have this really emotional moment at the end before Sandoval swoops in like a heat-seeking missile, where they're hugging it out and Sheena's like, I don't want to lose you. And Ariana's like, you're not going to lose me. They've been in this for such a long time. They have been friends since day one on this show. I don't think that Ariana is actually going to cut someone like Sheena out of her life because she's willing to have Tom in her life as well. She just doesn't want it to be a group thing. And so it's frustrating that that feels like it's being lost on everyone in the group except for Katie, that it's like, this is really just not that complicated. Katie puts it simply, she's like, if a man fucks you over, fuck that guy. It's like, that's basic algebra. It's like X plus Y equals Z. And everybody else seems to just be trying to make it into calculus. And it's like, no, the equation is pretty straightforward. Spring has sprung, and that means it's time for some spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring ones, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you're purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, new warm weather bedding, or a flight for that summer getaway. Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash back that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying by using the code MENTION when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code MENTION. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code MENTION.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe is there. Joe apologizes to Katie. Katie says she's weird. Joe asks Katie if she wants to apologize. Katie says no. There's this whole thing. There's a text where Joe texted Katie when she and Schwartz were getting divorced and was like, Bieber misses you. And it's like, first of all, Bieber? Is that like an autocorrect of Bubba? Is Bieber, did we like unlock a secret third nickname? Oh, God, if she calls him Bieber. Whoa. Though, to be fair, with the bleached hair, I feel like Tom Schwartz is giving Justin Bieber a little bit. Like that Justin Bieber bleached hair era. They kind of are a similar vibe. If Tom Schwartz had a lot of tattoos. I feel like he would look like a more washed up version of Justin Bieber. He's just looking for his Haley. Is Joe the Haley? If Joe made skincare products, would you buy them? I don't know. I wouldn't buy your hair care products, that's for sure. But the whole Katie and Joe thing, I think it's honestly, it's not the same, but it isn't so different from what's happening with Ariana, that it's like, Katie just doesn't want to be friends with her. It's like her ex's weird fake girlfriend who swooped in when they were in the midst of splitting up. And it's like, yeah, like, I just don't want this person in my airspace. And it's not that weird of a thing to ask for. And if we're bumping up on the thing of, oh, well, we're on the TV show and we should talk about it, it's like, well, Joe wasn't on the TV show. Joe showed up like 5 to 8 business days ago. And then she and Schwartz were on a break for half of that. And then now she's suddenly in San Francisco. Like, Katie doesn't owe Joe anything. And if she doesn't want to be, I mean, like, you can say that you don't like the way she's spoken to her. I think that's like fair enough. Joe is a person with feelings. That's valid. But like, Katie doesn't owe Joe some big moment or some big conversation. But what is weird to me is that Lala seems so team Katie when it comes to the situation with Joe. And like, it was weird. Like, it was fucked up that you were with her man, you were living in the house, blah, 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 blah. But then she doesn't have like an ounce of understanding for why Ariana's like, hi, I just don't want to spend my life with the ex that cheated on me for 7 months with my friend. Like, what? I really want to know, like, what's not clicking for Lala, because it's frustrating, because I have liked Lala at certain times in the past and I've agreed with her in certain situations. And it just feels like this is something where she's like, she's so far down a road that just like doesn't make sense. And it's like, why are we sticking with this? And the whole thing with her comments about Ariana's new relationship with Dan, it feels like another miscalculation, because I think that as a friend, if my friend is getting out of a relationship of nearly a decade and it's a traumatic breakup and she starts dating somebody, Lala says 8 days later, sure, well, let's accept that number, I would have questions. I would be skeptical. And I think that that is totally fine. But the way that Lala is questioning Ariana's relationship with Dan doesn't feel like it comes out of a place of concern for Ariana whatsoever. It's like she thinks that there's something nefarious about Dan because he would deign to be with this woman who was just out of a relationship. And then she says that he's a square because he doesn't want to shake hands with Sandoval. And then at dinner, she's like fully grilling him on his life and past and whatever. And she gets the signature Dorit blabbermouth edit to show how many questions she's asking. I love that. That's a nice touch. But it's like, it just feels like Lala is creating issues to create issues, and that like the way she's doing it isn't the way that feels like, oh, I'm a friend and I want to make sure my friend is doing okay. I think Lala really like misplayed her hand this whole season. And it's, I think if we're in a place of figuring out what this show is going to look like in the future, that makes me feel like Lala is a little bit less of a piece of that picture than maybe she was before. I'm not saying she's going to like get fired and we're never going to see her again, but it hasn't been a great season for her. I think it's been a great season for Katie. I think Katie has stood her ground. I think she's been a good friend to Ariana. Nobody could accuse her of anything else. I think that she has made a lot of progress in her evolving relationship with Tom Schwartz. And I think that their stuff together this season has been really compelling. When they're getting along, when they're having issues, it feels real in a way that is really refreshing. And it doesn't feel like she's playing a game for the show. And I think that getting down to these last few minutes of the finale, you really start to think about who is playing a game for the show. And we're never going to know 100%, but it's pretty crazy to see these last 10 minutes of everybody kind of collectively deciding that we're going to take down the fourth wall in a way that we've seen a lot of fourth wall breaks before, but I don't know if we've seen one quite like this, where Ariana chooses to leave. When Sandoval dive bombs her conversation with Sheena, she just walks right away. She walks up to production and is like, no, I'm not doing this. He doesn't deserve to talk to me. She brings up the point that when he was with Rachel, that it was non-informed consent because it's a whole thing. But she basically is like, no, I said no, this is stupid. I'm going to leave. She walks out with her friends. Tom is immediately like, this is bullshit. If you don't want to film with your ex, then get off the show. You're just sitting on your ass collecting a paycheck while the rest of us blah, 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 blah. Which, like, my guy, first of all, Ariana has done plenty this season. Like, her not wanting to have an altercation with you at Kyle Chan's whiskey launch party is not equivalent to her doing nothing for the whole season. And I you know, if whatever. But also it's like, oh, this is about filming. And all of this is kind of about filming. And Lala is big mad. And she's like, I've been holding back because I'm going to break the fourth wall in a big way, but now I'm going to do it. And she says, Ariana got cheated on and she thinks she's Beyonce. And it's bullshit that she stays under the same roof with Tom, but won't film with him. He didn't kill somebody. That's crazy. Like, Tom and Lala and kinda Sheena, it's like they have all decided that Ariana should be willing to have this conversation with Tom Sandoval on camera, and that they're really resenting her for holding her ground and deciding not to do that. And then Tom kind of like loses it a little bit. And he's like, she doesn't like any of you. Like, she talks shit about you all the time. She doesn't fucking like you. I would really recommend watching, if you are like a live Bravo watcher, go watch the end of this episode on Peacock, because it's uncensored. And there's a whole lot of F-bombs in the last 10 minutes of this episode. Sheena's like, I fucking know, Tom. I know. Okay? Don't make me look stupid. Well, Sheena took about 10 minutes. Ariana, though, she in her confessional is like, look, we share these parts of our lives on the show, but if you feel strongly about something, it shouldn't matter whether it's on the show or not. And all of these months that Tom and I have been, you know, going through this separately but together, he has never once tried to talk to me off camera. He could have left a letter on the kitchen table and I would have read it and been able to respond the way I wanted to, but he's only ever tried to do it on camera. And she says, that shows your true colors. And I have to agree. I mean, regardless of how you have felt about Tom throughout this season, I think there have been some ups and downs. I think there have been certain moments where it feels like he has, you know, said and done the right things to kind of try and start to work toward a better place. But that is such a key part of it, that when you think about the long-term ramifications of these storylines, you know, this is a 10-year relationship. And if there's a sense that you are only really interested in, you know, having a certain conversation or litigating your mistakes, well, not mistakes, choices, as Katie points out, what is in it for the other person to agree to that? What if Ariana is thriving with the show or without it, why is she going to sit there and listen to Tom talk at her for 30 minutes about how she didn't buy pens and batteries and she was depressed and she, you know, one foot out the door and XYZ? Like, what is she going to gain from that? And kind of the nail in the coffin is after Ariana drives off. First of all, we have this like beautiful, moody, dramatic song playing that I, of course, did rewind and Shazam it. The song is called Headed West by Mallory with one L. listen to that on Spotify this morning. It's like, you put on your clown makeup and you walk through the door. That's, I don't remember how it actually goes, but it's like a very like, it feels like the end of the hills kind of, but like sadder. But then we hear a hot mic moment. We're seeing the skyline of San Francisco. Beautiful, scenic, picturesque. And we see producer. That's the end. Tom Schwartz. What a fucking plot twist, man. And then Tom Sandoval. I loved it. It's good for me. Oh my God. Did he not know the mic was still on? They literally were filming like 10 seconds ago. Come on, Robert Durst. Like, get it together. This is the thing that it's like he spent this whole season convincing everyone that he deserves to be treated like a human, not even forgiven, just treated like a human. And then like right away, he shows his cards and is like, yay, I won, because Ariana wouldn't film with me and then walked off. And it's like, first of all, Ariana is clearly bringing a lot of value to the table in more ways than one at this point. I loved that the teaser for her hosting Love Island USA dropped the same day as the Vanderpump Rules finale, because it's like, oh, she's not taking the summer off. Also, she's going back into Chicago on Broadway in August. Like, she is booked and busy. And I don't know if she will decide to come back to the show, but if there is a show to come back to, you better believe that they're going to ask her back. Ariana's not getting fired because she didn't want to have one last convo with Tom. It's just, that's not the way this is going to go. And if he thinks it is, I think he's in for a little bit of a rude awakening, because I don't think Tom Sandoval is going to get fired from the show, but it's going to be like a, it's going to be like a Teresa and Melissa last season, when Teresa at the reunion is like, I'm never going to see you again because you're leaving. And she makes this whole big thing out of how Melissa's getting fired. And then nobody got fired. They're both still on the show. How does the crow taste? I think that it is going to be, you know, we haven't seen the reunion yet. The trailer looks intense. But I think that Tom Sandoval is going to have problems if he views this as a victory, because watching the reaction on social media, speaking about it to, you know, friends and people that, all, you know, talk about this all the time, I don't think that Tom came out of this finale looking like the victor, even if you were somebody who was somewhat sympathetic to his cause throughout the season. Because not everybody out here is like Team Ariana, I stand the queen, kiss the ring. Like, some people are a little bit of like La-La vibes and think that, you know, oh God, I can't. The comment section sometimes starts like, she gets cheated on and she gets to be in a Broadway show. It's like, she has a theater degree, but whatever. I am so curious where this is going to go, because like I said, it feels final, but I really don't think they will cancel the show. There was just some news the other day that this is the this season has been the highest performing Bravo original season on Peacock, I think, ever. Like, this show is still a hit. It got nominated for Emmys like 6 months ago. They're not canceling this unless, like, you know, Sir melts into the ground tomorrow, and then that's probably a good storyline for three more seasons anyway. So Vanderpump Rules will be back. I feel confident saying that. I don't know exactly who will be back. I don't know exactly when it will be, but I mean, it will be next week at the reunion. We still have a few weeks left of talking about this, and I, for one, can't wait to get into it. But thank you so much for thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. Make sure you're subscribed. We have a fun interview coming tomorrow with Jesse Solomon from Summer House, and lots more stuff on the way. But in the meantime, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Picot, and Rebecca Sausmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Betches.